Why don't we all stand together in honor of him? And once you've done that, would you extend your hands toward a heavenly Father that's deserving, worthy, and so good. Lord, we appreciate you and thank you from our hearts for your goodness to us. Amen. The psalmist said, truly, God is good to Israel. And I think in this New Testament era, we can also say God is good to the church. And more personally, he's good to us as individuals. Can anybody say amen? That he is a good God. Once more, would you offer great praise to a good God? He's your Father. He knows you by name, loves you without question. Oh, we thank you from our hearts for your goodness, your mercy, your compassion to us, what we feel in this place. Amen. And he is certainly, as well as a good Father, a faithful Father, isn't he? I was thinking as we sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, just speaking for me, it's very humbling to think that he is so faithful, and yet I've been so unfaithful at times. But he's always there. He's always there. And I guess even more so when I've been unfaithful, he shows up. And I'm grateful for that. Last month, in fact, it was just a little over a month ago, the first Sunday of November, I preached from a question. Those of you that were here, I don't expect you to remember. I know because I looked it up. But I asked this question, what's so special about the house of the Lord? And today I'd like to use that template or framework and preach from this question in this season, what's so special about Christmas? I think the kids that are down in Children's Church would probably quickly answer that, duh, it's presents. But we as adult New Testament believers, we know there's a little bit more to it than just presents. And with God's help, I want to highlight what's special about Christmas today. Would you stretch a hand heavenward and let's just ask God in this glorious atmosphere to touch our hearts with his word. Lord, we appreciate your presence. It is flooding this house. No question. You are among us and we thank you for that. Now ask for the anointing of your word to come to our hearts. Let our minds and spirits be open, receptive. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted, the planted word, because it's able to save us. It's able to keep us. And I ask that you would do these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all with faith said amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Christmas really is a special time. Even those who have intentionally or unintentionally taken Christ out of Christmas would agree that this is a special season. One of the things is what I just mentioned, and that is gift giving. Our kids, once they reach a certain age, they catch on pretty quick, don't they? The children and grandchildren, that it is in their minds all about presents. But you know, even individuals, families, corporations will increase their charitable giving this time of year and be more generous to people who are in need. And I think that helps make Christmas special. Christmas is also special because of food and more food. Ooh, I got an amen from a foodie over here. All the foodies in the house said amen. You probably already have your recipes picked out, your special dishes, desserts, whatever it is you guys do. Some of us just eat to survive, but I know it's an art with some of you. But that's part of Christmas, makes it special, doesn't it? Light displays and, of course, festive decoration. I'm assuming many of you have that in your homes. And even here in the metro area, we're blessed with a lot of light displays that you can go, and visit. My wife and I have already taken in the garden glow at Shaw's Garden and wild lights at the zoo, so we're on a roll. But lots of things that you can see around the St. Louis area. And then it's also special because of music. I'm guessing some of us have a threshold with Christmas music. I'm one of those, but when you think about it, it is kind of special that there's just a set time of year, or at least for me, that I listen to a certain type of music. Some of you probably diehards do it all year long, but I can't handle that. There's just a certain space of time. But I do enjoy it, and it makes it special. It's a music that's set apart for this season. And then clearly, family time, time with friends, makes Christmas very, very special. It really is amazing that over 2,000 years ago, an event that took place could have such a profound impact on our world. If you think about it for a moment, even our calendar is dated by this event. When you use the words 2017 or soon to be 2018, you're really referencing the birth of Jesus Christ. He split history into BC and AD. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, pretty much the whole world is going to shut down. Government offices, post offices, libraries, banks, retail stores, many restaurants. Unless I'm mistaken, I think even White Castle closes down. Is that right? Those of you that enjoy that cuisine, I hope you can make it with one day without it. But it really is a special time, and the whole world kind of shuts down. And this would be an excellent time, too, by the way, just to give a shout-out to those that don't always get Christmas off, and that would be those in our law enforcement, firefighters, healthcare professionals, doctors and nurses and paramedics, those in the military, working essential services, utilities, things like that. They make some sacrifices, not always being with their families on Christmas, and we do honor them for that and want them to know, giving them that shout-out. Some people just get upset over the commercialization of Christmas, and I guess some really dig down deep and they get upset because we don't know the actual date when Jesus was born. But I say this, and you're welcome to disagree, even if people are celebrating it incorrectly, I'm just glad Christmas is still celebrated. It's not inconceivable that the day could come when Christmas would be kind of officially banned under the heading of separating church and state. And I guess in many ways the state or the government has already taken the religious aspect out of Christmas. But thankfully Christmas is celebrated, and it should be rightfully so because it's special. But what really makes Christmas special, at least for this sake of the message, I know we could probably describe this in a lot of different ways, but for the sake of this message, Christmas is special because of its revelation to us, also the reason for it, and then the result of it. And the revelation of Christmas can really be summed up in one statement of Scripture. It was the Apostle Paul to Timothy, and it's this: God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was more than just another baby born in Bethlehem. He was more than just a statistic for the census, but as the angel told Joseph, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph learned of Mary being expectant during their engagement, he feared the worst. And if you've read there in Matthew chapter 1, you know that he was seriously considering breaking off the engagement, trying to spare her a lot of embarrassment if he could. And while he was considering that, an angel appeared unto him in a dream and said, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And it's the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy long ago: "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That's who Jesus is, God with us. That's his identity. History does accept that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but where there's some disagreement that surfaces is over who he is. And doctrinally speaking, I won't dwell too long on this or go into great detail, but I think every now and again, apostolic believers need to revisit some of our cardinal truths. And one of them is this: Jesus did not exist from eternity. But there was a time when the Son of God had, as we know him, had a definite beginning. The psalmist prophesied in the second psalm, "I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Paul said in Galatians, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." So there was a particular point in time when the Holy Ghost came on Mary. The power of the highest overshadowed her. And as the angel said, that which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. And we know after his birth, the angels told the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So Jesus was not some mystical or angelic presence that just sort of had the shell of flesh or the form of flesh. As John wrote, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Jesus was in every sense a human being. He laughed, he cried, he ate, he slept. He didn't live quite long enough to have some of the aches and pains of getting older. I had one of the elders of this church tell me a few years ago that getting old is not for sissies. And I'm finding that to be true. Jesus didn't live that long, but on a very somber note, he knew what it was to experience excruciating physical pain. He had the same struggles and temptations, same desires and drives. He knew loneliness, discouragement. He knew frustration and fatigue. And on the bright side, he knew the joy of friendship. He knew what it was to be loved by fellow humans. He knew the fulfillment of knowing his purpose, why he was here. And there is a satisfaction that comes to us as human beings when we understand just why we're on this earth. Jesus had that. But he was more than just an ordinary man, it's important to note, more than a prophet or a king, more than a religious leader. In our context, I'd say it this way: he was more than just a good Holy Ghost-filled man that was faithful to God and his family and his church. He was much more than that, because it took more than a man to forgive sin. And Jesus did that. It took more than a man to say to a raging storm, "Peace be still." And Jesus did that. took more than a man for him to say, after I die, I promise you, I will raise myself from the dead. And Jesus did precisely that. In fact, after his resurrection, the apostle Thomas saw him, fell before him, and said, my Lord and my God. And you'll notice there, interesting, Jesus did not stop Thomas with that proclamation. Unlike Paul and Barnabas over in Acts, when a special miracle was wrought by their hands, there were people calling them gods, and they were quick to say, whoa, 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 hold on a minute, we're not gods. We're just ordinary men through whom the power of God is flowing. But notice, Jesus didn't say that to Thomas when he said, my Lord and my God, because Thomas was not in error. It was his Lord. It was his God. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Colossians tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 14, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. If ye had known me, he said, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And when Philip, the disciple, said, Lord, if you would show us the Father, it would be all right. That would settle everything for us. Just show us who he is. And Jesus' response was, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Hey, when you see Jesus, you see God, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't know anything about George Farrell except that he wrote one of the apostolic hymns of the church, It's All in Him. Page 369, if you need to know. Used to be 29 in the old hymnal. He wrote and said, the mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wonderful in wisdom by whom all things are made, the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. Hey, Christmas is special because it reveals to us the mighty God is in Jesus Christ. That's worth celebrating. That's worth celebrating for those who have the revelation. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. But that's not the only good news. The really good news is, of course, why Jesus came. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Well, to answer it one way, because you and I needed Him. Jesus, the saying is the reason for the season, and that's true, because Christmas is not about Santa, is it? It's about a Savior. It's not about jingle bells, it's about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season, but consider this for a moment. Really, if you drill down deep, it's you and I that are the reason for the season. It's why He came. God was in Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote, reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, why did He do that? Because we needed reconciliation. Reconciliation would not have been necessary if Adam and Eve had not sinned in the Garden of Eden. If the Old Testament animal sacrifices had been sufficient to restore us to God, Jesus would not have needed to come. But Hebrews says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. The only way for sin to be reconciled, or only way for us as humans to be reconciled to God, is through a sinless sacrifice. It's the only way. We can't pay the penalty for our own sin and survive. But God in His grace figured out a way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why Jesus was manifested, John wrote. That's why He showed up. That's why He appeared and came to us to take away our sins, because in Him is no sin. Jesus offered Himself as one sacrifice for sins forever and for everybody. He died for all the things you and I have done wrong. We don't have to pay for our own sins because He who knew no sin became sin for us. And all of that happened, it's important for us to note, out of God's love. There's a verse in the Bible, and before I give it to you, I just want to say, because it's so familiar, John 3:16, that sometimes we might overlook the message of that verse or the full impact of it. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That process, that means of having everlasting life was all born out of God's love for humanity. God's love for his creation. One of the joys of human existence, I think we can agree, is to be loved. It really is. God's love, though, exceeds the love of all others. Hopefully you've got a family that loves you and maybe a friend or two that says he loves you. But regardless, there's no one that's ever going to love you as much as God does. No one. He loves you more than you'll ever understand. Loves you more than you can ever fathom or figure out. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he displayed that greatest love by laying down his life for all of us. He did it before we even knew him. He did it when we were, to put it one way, going in the opposite direction. Or in our case, we weren't even born to be able to sin yet. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It was all out of his love. So Christmas is special because it's for your benefit. I know you love getting those presents, but I'm telling you there's a gift that's far greater. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The revelation of Christmas is God was manifest in the flesh. The reason for it is he came for your salvation. And that is special. That is significant. That means a whole lot. I'm saying today, and I hope you and I can too, enjoy all the trappings of Christmas, the meals and the lights and the decor and the family time. I really do hope we can all enjoy that. But in the midst of it, don't forget, Jesus Christ came for your salvation. It's the reason that he came for your redemption. And if anybody here hasn't yet experienced his redemption, I want you to know Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. His salvation is for everyone. And if you'll just put your faith in Jesus Christ as the means of your salvation, if you'll just trust him for that, on the basis of that faith, Jesus says what you need to do is repent or turn from sin. Give up the lifestyle of sin. Look to me and then be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise for everybody. Acts 2:39 says, the promise is unto you and your children and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a promise. You will receive it. You will have it because God wants you to have it and he'll ensure that it happens. Thank God for a new birth experience. All because Jesus Christ came to us. And that leads to yet one more thing that makes Christmas special, and it's the result. Because he came, you and I can have a personal relationship with our Creator. Think of that for a moment. I sometimes in prayer, once in a while, I'm so humbled to have it come to my realization that I'm communing with the same God that talked with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and Noah and Job and all those of the Bible. The same God I'm communing with. I know I have his presence. I have his spirit. It's really kind of humbling and mind-blowing all at the same time to realize that. But God wants each of us to have our own relationship with him. That's why we were created. That's why we were put on this earth, to have a relationship with him. And if a person misses out with that relationship with God, they've missed out on everything. Can anybody agree with that today? You miss out on everything because knowing God personally is what life is all about. But when you experience a new birth, when you experience the result of the coming of Jesus Christ, that's special because it opens up a whole new world. Anybody from your experience agree with that? When Jesus Christ came into your life, it was a whole new world because of him entering into your life. It's transformation, not reformation. When God comes in your life, you're not just breaking a few bad habits or at the first of the year turning over a new leaf or making some resolutions. It's transformation. The power of God comes in to set you free. You're delivered from that old sinful nature, and by the power of Jesus Christ, through your faith and by walking in the light as he is in the light, his blood will cleanse you from all sin. You can live an overcoming life through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. I truly believe that. I know it's true from God's word, but I've experienced it myself. I know what I'm talking about. He'll change your life. He'll make you a brand new creation. And I love the way the Bible describes it in different places. It says in one place, it's joy unspeakable. You can't really describe it. You just do your best, right? There is a peace that comes that many times is past our own understanding or comprehension. We don't just get it all or figure out how it happens. We just know God is supernatural, and he does it in our lives. There's in his presence pleasures forevermore, the psalmist said, and we experience that through the infilling of his Spirit. And Jesus stated the result of Christmas very succinctly when he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Too many people, I would venture to say, don't really live. They just kind of go through the motions. You know, they get up in the morning, head off to work or school, whichever the case, and they come home, go to bed, do it all over, day after day, 60, 70, 80 years, just kind of existing, just kind of going from one day to another. But Jesus said, I've come to make you fully alive. Not only here, but in the hereafter. When you get Jesus in your life, I'm telling you, life takes on new meaning. Yeah, you still have those aches and pains as you age, but I'm telling you, life takes on new meaning when Jesus Christ comes into your life. We've got a reason to live. Come on, there's purpose in our lives. There's meaning. It's significant. We've got direction. We who have been made partakers of the divine nature, we know who we are. We know why we're here, and thank God we know where we're going. Oh, somebody celebrate if you know Jesus Christ. Somebody celebrate if you have him in your life. Woo! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The new birth that we have is just the earnest of our inheritance, we're told, until the full redemption. Because there's something for us to count on. There's joy unspeakable here, but I'm telling you, there's something to count on. The future is bright. There's coming a day, or I should more precisely say, there's coming a moment when we're going to be ushered into life everlasting. And I know that that's something our minds really can't grasp fully. But that's what the scripture promises. We're going to be ushered into life everlasting. The dead in Christ, we're told, at the trumpet sound shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. That's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortality will put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's life here and there's life hereafter because of Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful for the result of Christmas. It's what makes it so special because salvation that we experience is the most wonderful gift that we could possibly have. Nothing compares to it. God's gift is personal. God's gift is practical. Don't you hate it when you get a gift that doesn't work? But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ atones for sin. It's efficacious. It's effective. It does the job. It atones for all sin. It's priceless because he paid for it with his life, and it's permanent because we're going to forever be with him as a result. The gift of God is eternal life. So Christmas is special because of its result. You can know God. You can have a relationship with him. What a joy that is. What a thrill that is for us to experience to know him. And in closing this little message to you today, those that recognize Christmas as truly being special, as being something that is very significant in the real sense, they are those who know who Jesus is, know why he came, and they know what it means to each individual personally who puts faith in Jesus Christ. They know what it means in their lives. Believers, I'll just say it this way, are the ones who can best celebrate Christmas. Best celebrate Christmas. And as the worship team comes, we're going to do a little worshiping here in a moment. I'm assuming, I don't know this, but I'm assuming a lot of you already have your plans for Christmas, or at least you have half of an idea what you're going to be doing. But I hope you make plans to worship Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to ask the obvious, what better time than right now than to celebrate Jesus Christ? What better place than right here to celebrate Jesus Christ? Again, I'm assuming, don't know this, but even today, I guess as they say, a lot of you have places to go and things to do and people to see. But I have a feeling there's at least a percentage of people that are willing to do a little worshiping around here of Jesus Christ. You know who he is. You know why he came. And you know the result of it in your personal life. And that's worth celebrating, isn't it? That's worth celebrating. And so we're going to wrap up a little bit of worship. And I just want you to know, as they sing this chorus, as you're worshiping Jesus Christ, don't miss this. Needs can be met in this place. As you're worshiping, God can speak a word of healing. God can give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom if he chooses. And sometimes, I'll just speak for myself, sometimes I think I complicate it. I think we got to have some kind of certain atmosphere before God can move. But, you know, he can speak in a still small voice if he wants to. And you can receive the Spirit today if you haven't, as you are worshiping, lifting your voice in praise to him. You can start speaking in a language you haven't learned on the basis of your faith and repentance. It can happen around here. And a lot of times when that happens, that's where the exuberance comes in with Pentecostals. You know, you get filled with the Spirit. You know, there's just an emotion that's pulled out of you. There's just joy that comes when you get it. So I understand that. But however you want to worship, however you want to celebrate Jesus Christ today, I want us to spend a few moments. If you want to sing along with the praise team or just while they're singing, worship in your own way, we're going to do that today and just expect Jesus Christ to touch our hearts as we worship him and exalt him today.
You're magnificent.
Song. Would you either sing that or worship in your own words, but all through the sanctuary. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. Offer your worship to him. Offer your praise. Oh, that's it. He's your God. He's your creator. It's Jesus. 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 Such forgiveness. Because God was in Christ, we can have forgiveness of sin, and we can know him personally. We can experience it. Anybody glad you know who Jesus is today? Anybody glad for that revelation? He revealed himself to you personally. Anybody thankful that you know why he came? You know what Christmas is all about, don't you? Came for your benefit, came for your blessing, came for your salvation. And are you grateful that you know what it means to you as a believer? We're going to sing this a few more times, and I just want to encourage you to worship in any way you choose. If someone wants to come down to the front here and present a need, you can do that. If you're a guest, We typically do this, and it's just our way of kind of focusing our faith and joining one another. But if you have any kind of need, or if you just want to come worship your Lord, that's what this time really is all about. We want to make sure this Christmas season that we let Him know that He's what means the most to us. All the trappings, yeah, thankful, glad for them, but oh, it's all about Jesus today. It's all about Jesus today. It's all about Jesus today. However you want to worship, however you want to praise, this is your time.